Okay, are we ready? It says Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahala v'Samecha, V'Osam Yachad Tcheles Mordechai. Right? This is the statement that typifies our connection to Purim. Shoshanas Yaakov, Klal Yisrael are called the Shoshana. We're called the Shoshana ben Achochim in Shir HaShirim. We are, as it were, a rose amongst, like thorns. A rose amongst thorns. Shoshana ben Achochim. When are we Tzahala v'Samecha? Tzahala is very energized excitement. Kol Tzahala, right? Kol Mitzalos Chasanim Mechupasam, right? Charged excitement. Something that we need now. Charged. Are we awake? Great God. Samecha, Simcha in general, is what he called expansion. Expansion. What does that mean? Another way to go. Where did he suck that out of his thumb? That actually wasn't my thumb, but you can't be picky, right? Samecha, what's Simcha? Simcha, what do you call it? In Chazal, when they talk about, for instance, in Maseches Sukkah, they talk about different types of hand breaths, right? There's a sad hand breath, that's a Tefach Atzev, sad hand breath, it's constricted, right? Where it's constricted, the fingers are together. In other words, we're using these measurements, And then there's a Tefach Sameach, or a Tefach Sochek, a happy hand breath or a laughing hand breath, right? Laughing, what do you call it? And that's like this. No, it's like with the fingers, what do you call it, are separate. Expansion. Simcha is expansion. So Shoshanas Yaakov, the Shoshana of Yaakov, right? The Shoshana bein Hachochim. Shoshana bein Hachochim. It lives in an environment, right? An environment surrounded by thorns. Sometimes these thorns are external thorns. Sometimes they're thorns, as it were, even on their own bush, right? On the own rose bush, they're what we call our thorns. You need to expand, right? Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahala v'Samecha Bir'osam Yachad Tcheles Mordechai. When they saw together the Tcheles of Mordechai, right? Mordechai Yatzal v'Fnei HaMelech, etc. Tcheles, etc., etc., etc. What's shot? So let's understand. Let's approach the Hakdama to Purim, right? And then maybe we'll appreciate what this piyut that we say on Purim is really saying to us. The two special parshios that are read before we come to Purim. One is Parsha Shkolim, and the other is Parsha Zachor. Parsha Shkolim is read Rosh Chodesh, or the Shabbos prior to, in our case it was on Rosh Chodesh itself, to Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why? Because on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmim al Shkolim. You make the announcement for the Machzios HaShekel. Shkolim. What are the Machzios HaShekel used for? Right? The Machzios HaShekel, there always had to be a new donation of Machzios HaShekel prior to Nisan. Why? Because in Nisan, right, we know we have two Rosh Hashanah in the Jewish year. There is the Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and then there is Rosh, what he calls Rosh Chodeshim, which is Nisan. Query? Come? Yeah? You have a query? Oh, okay, no, I was fine, I thought it was, okay. At any event, yeah, so what do you call it, so we have, right, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we always have to start bringing the Korbanos Tzibur. And the Korbanos Tzibur, we're talking about the daily sacrifices, Shachris, Tamid Shil Shachar, like we daven Shachris, and Tamid Shil Bin Arbayim, and the Korban Tamid is brought in the afternoon. That's what we call Keneged. That's where our mincha comes in, right? Shachris and mincha, the tmidim, right? The daily sacrifice brought every day, Shabbos, Yom Tov, record, and it doesn't make a difference. Every day those sacrifices are brought. They had to be brought from a new donation every Nisan. Why? It should be new. It should be alive. It should be fresh. It shouldn't be old. It shouldn't be left over. It shouldn't be stale. It shouldn't be hackneyed. It should be vibrant. It should be filled with life. Right? The Machtis HaShekel, so they made an announcement already in Rosh Chodesh Adar that we should give the start bringing the donations of the Machtis HaShekel. Says the Gemara Megillah, Galui v'yadua, it was known, right? Lifnei Mish Amar v'haya Olam, before the one who said, let the world be. Sha'asid Haman lishkol eshkalav, that Haman one day would weigh out, he would measure out his shkalim, right? Haman bought the rights, right? To destroy, to kill the Jewish people for aseret alafim kikar kesef. Amazing. The rights to destroy an entire people for 10,000 talents of silver. Tosis brings down that there's a cheshbon that those 10,000 talents of silver equal to the machtis or shekel that the Jewish people gave while they were in their midbar. Machtis or shekel, 10,000 talents of silver. And because of this, Chazal say a very strange thing, such an interesting thing. There's a medrash that says that every, as it were, personality type has got, I don't know if you could use the word personality type, every outstanding personality type has got a beginning, right? It's got the one who is most typical, right, of that particular aspect of human behavior. Like, for instance, the Rosh of the, what do you call, Menagnim, the head of all those who sing, is David Melch Yisrael. The Rosh of the Bonim, Shlomo Melch, builds the base of Mikdash. Rosh Maminim, obviously, is Avram. The Rosh of what he called the Rosh of Mechira is Achashverosh. And the Rosh of Knia is Haman. Can you imagine? Isn't that, that's what typifies buying and selling? You sell a nation, you buy the rights to destroy a nation? It's bizarre. We wouldn't think of that. But perhaps in the world outside, that's the way it is, right? Remember, I don't know if you remember, I mean, you can't remember, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. It used to be, it's a quotation from a famous... movie. At any event, right? Record, yeah, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. Maybe that's the way it is. Maybe that's the way people... anything can be bought and sold. Look at what happened to Klal Yisrael, right? During the war, buying and selling Jews. You could sell them, you could buy them, right? At any event, so it says the Gemara, Golu v'yadu lefni misha amar v'haya olam, sha'asid Haman lishkol eshkalav, that Haman would weigh out, right? He would be shokil eshkalim. And therefore, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Hiktim shkalenu lishkalav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, gave us the mitzvah of machtis ha-shekel. And in that way, our machtios ha-shekel were used to launch a preemptive strike on what we call Haman's shkolim. And that's how our shkolim outweighed his shkolim. How so? Remember, two parshios before Purim. Shkolim and Zachar. We said that the machtios ha-shekel, right, was used to buy the korbanos tzibur. What does that have to do with defeating Haman? So let's take a look. Chazal say also in Maseches Megillah, Leis the Yada, there was no one who knew Lishna Bisha, Lashon Hara, better than Haman. Haman was a master of Lashon Hara. A master of Lashon Hara. Where is his Lashon Hara? We say Chazal, you see the Lashon Hara in the words that he said to Achashverosh, Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Meforad Vina Amim. Yeshno Am Echad, say Chazal. What does it mean, Yeshno? It means just say Yesh, they are. Yesh Am Echad, what's Yeshno? Say Chazal. Hidden in that word Yeshno is Yashnu Min HaMitzvos. Yeshno Am Echad, they're asleep. They're asleep from the mitzvos. What does that mean? Haman was not just trying to commit, as it were, genocide, as they refer to it, right? Because We were captivating the world's monetary system. We were responsible for the protocols of elders of Zion, right? Haman knew that the only way, right, that he could fight the Jewish people, and he wanted to fight them philosophically, but he knew that he could never win. The only way that he could win was to destroy them. Haman is called, right, just like Klal Yisrael, just like Klal Yisrael is called Reishis, right? Reishis Tvuasa. We are the Reishis of Hashem's Tvua, that which Hashem grows in the world, right? We're called Reishis Tvuasa. Amalek is called Reishis Goyim Amalek. They are a different Reishis. They are a different beginning, right? Our Reishis, we're called Reishis, Reishis Tvuasa. Hashem is growing us. Hashem is watering us. Hashem wants us to flourish. Hashem wants us, as it were, right, to be the evidence. Hashem Edai Nuhum Hashem. You are my witnesses. You are my testimony in this world. We are his what do you call it, his crop. We are his, what do you call it, we are the one that he invests his effort into us so we will reveal his name in the world. That's us. Amalek is Reishis Goyim. They are the beginning, they are the source of every deficiency that's found outside of the Jewish people. Reishis Goyim, they are the Rosh. They see themselves as the Rosh. They wish to supplant God in the world. Now this doesn't mean that Amalek was an atheist. It doesn't mean he was an atheist. How can he be an atheist? He was what he called Esav's grandson, right? Esav also wasn't an atheist. Even though it says Esav was kofar be'ikar, it doesn't mean he didn't believe that there was a creator. But he had a false philosophy of the world. He had a philosophy for the world that God is not interested in having a relationship with us, right, in this world. He's not interested in it. He doesn't want it. He wants us to be supermen. This is why this concept that is found in Nietzsche, right, the idea of the Superman, etc., is a very Germanic idea. Man, God wants that man should be separate from him, that man should be successful on his own, right? He should be a Superman. Why? He's not involved in our lives. Every once in a while, perhaps, he'll show us who's the boss. He'll bring you a tsunami, he'll bring you an earthquake, he'll bring a hurricane, etc. But he's not interested in us having a relationship with him. This, right, if you'll see in Parshas B'Shalach, where the event of, what do you call it, of the attack of Amalek is found, and I think we discussed this, right? But it's very important. Let's go over just the idea, just a scooch, what do you call it, to re-grease the wheels. In the end of Parshas B'Shalach, where the actual attack of Amalek takes place. Now, we don't read this as Parshas Zachor, right? We read this on Purim itself. We read Parshas B'Shalach, the actual attack of Amalek. Parshas Zachor is from Parshas Kisetze in Dvarim, where it talks about the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. But anyway, be that as it may, there it says, at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, when it describes, what do you call it, the reaction, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, after Amalek has been attacked, and after Yeshua has been successful in driving them away, it says, Kiyad al kes ka, milchama l'ashem mamalek midor dor. Kiyad al kes ka. Say, what do you call it, says the Psikta, the Tziv brings down the Psikta there, a Medrash, right? Kiyad al keska, the yad we're talking about here is the yad of Amalek. It's not the way Rashi's mefarsh it there, right? It's a difference, a bit different pavish, the pavish of the medrash. The yad is the yad of Amalek. Kiyad al keska, the yad of Amalek is mechase, kes, miloshim kisui, ka, the shame yud ke. The shame yud ke. What does that mean? It says it in its sieve. Right? It says it in its sieve. Yud ke. Right? Chazal say, on the Pasuk, right? We say in Uvolat Zion, Bitchu b'Hashem adayad, ki b'ka Hashem tzur olamim. Place your trust in Hashem for b'ka Hashem tzur olamim. For with the shame, Yud followed by Hey, Hashem created the worlds. Tzur olamim. Olam hazeh is created with those Hey. And I think we discussed this, yeah? Right? The shape of Olam, the shape of a Hey. Cozy. The shape of a hay. Sorry, guy. Right? The shape of a hay. The shape of a hay is like called an achsadra prutza, an open portico, as it were, right? And in other words, it means to see yourself as bounded by Hashem's wheel on three sides, or you can look at the bottom and drop out and do whatever you want, right? Olam Hazeh is created the oath, hey. Olam Haba, right, is created with the oath Yud. Why? Because the Yud, its head is bent, or it's just bent a little bit more, and it's small. Because the number of tzaddikim, right, in Olam Haba, compared to all the people who have walked the face of the earth, are few in number. Small, head bent in humility before Hashem. Says what he calls, says the Medrash, right? Kiyod al Keska. Amalek covers Yudke. What does that mean? It's telling us that Amalek can say, you want to believe that God created this world? Whatever you want. Fine. You want to believe, right, that there's a world to come even. Right? The Elysian Fields, Nirvana, Miracle on 34th Street. Right? You want to believe that? Why not? Religion is the opiate of the people. Makes you happy? Terrific. But don't tell us he's involved in our lives here. There's no vav hey. The yud in the kei, kiyod al kes ka. The vav in the hey, says the Medrash, what is it comparable to? To a king who wishes to address his people. He wants to have a connection with them. He wants to talk to them. He wants to encourage them. He wants to command them. He wants to hear their needs, etc. Right? There he is. He's standing there. He wants to speak to them. Comes along one disgusting individual and raises up a screen in front of the king's face. And he says to the people, you see? You don't see the king. Just like you don't see the king, he doesn't see you. Those are the osios, says the Netziv, of the vav and the hay at the end of the Shem Hashem. Yud kei vav kei. The vav and the hay, the vav is representative of Hashem's involvement in our lives. B'derech neis, what he refers to as tiferes. And the hay, the final hay, is Hashem's involvement in our lives, b'derech hateva, what he calls malchus. So the essence of Amalek, right, is saying there is no one involved in your lives. If you want to believe that God created the world, you want to believe there's another world after this. If it makes you happy, fine, right? It's cheaper than dope, right? But don't tell me he's involved in our lives here. Kiyad al kes ka, he covers the yud and the hay. There is no vav hay. There is no vav hay. There is no providence. There is no hashgacha. There is no involvement in our lives. This is Amalek. So now, we were the exact opposite of that. Everything we do is involvement with Hashem. Are things that are clearly mitzvahs, and like we talked about before, remember we talked about the idea of mitzvah. Mitzvah itself, mem tzadi and atfash, I'm not going to go through the whole discussion we had once upon a time, right? Mem tzadi and atfash, right? Mem, right? In atfash is yud, right? If you come from the beginning of the aleph phase, the end of the aleph phase, right? Tzadi, the atfash is hey, right? Just like if you go from the end, tuf, right? It's easy with what do you call it? Tuf, shin, right, Reish, Kuf, Sadi, that's number 5, right? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Sadi, in Atbash, is Hey. That means embedded in Mem, Sadi, Vav, Hey, is the Shem Hashem. The last two letters are the act itself that we do, our involvement, and hidden, right, embedded in every mitzvah is Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Yud, right, which is Mem, in Atbash, and what we call hey, which is what we call the parallel to what we call tzadi in Atbash. Yud kei vav kei. Everything we do is attachment to Hashem. Everything, not just the formal mitzvahs, every choice that we make to do what's right, to do what's not, or to do what's convenient. That's mitzvah. We're with Hashem all the time. So Amalek says he's not involved in our lives, and our whole declaration is our lives only revolve about our involvement with him. Amalek knows the only way he can destroy this philosophy Right? This is wrong. This is false. Again, it all comes from his midos. We won't get into that. We're not into psychodrama, right? It all comes from his midos, etc. He makes that choice from his egocentricity. But that's the way he wants to see the world. I've met, unfortunately, so many people like that, right? They claim, oh, there's no intellectual proof. What do you call it? Emuna is a natural, intuitive concept. It's naturally intuitive. If a person doesn't see it, right, it's because, what do you call it, his egocentricity is not allowing him to, what do you call it, to open his eyes. At any event, the only way he can get rid of us is to destroy us. The only way he can fight this philosophy is to destroy us. How shall he destroy us? So, when we are at a low ebb, when we are at the low, what do you call it, lowest level of our action, then he can destroy us. That's why he says, Yeshnu am echad, yashnu min ha-mitzvos. He says to Achashverosh, I can do it now, right? I can, what do you call it? I'm going to place my bet on them now. I can do it now. I can destroy them now. Why? Because Yeshno Am Echad, they are asleep from the mitzvahs. Mifuzaru Mifurad, Bein Amim, says, what do you call Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Gemara doesn't say it, but Reb Tzadok says on the same pasuk, Mifuzaru Mifurad, there's Pirud Bein HaNeshamos. There is division amongst them. In other words, they are not attached to the Creator. They're asleep. They do the mitzvahs, what do you call it, by rote. Mitzvahs anoshim milumada. They do things by rote. You think they're really excited about what they're doing? There's no excitement there. There's no simcha there. There's no tzahala there, for sure not. Right? Nothing. And in terms of their connection to one another, maybe that'll be their saving grace. They could care less. Each one's interested only in his own hide. Mifuzar mifrat pirud between the neshamos. Say Chazal. Golo v'yadua, again, that Hashem knew she'asir haman lishkol ishkalov. The ultimate sale, the right to destroy a people. I can always make an offer that you can't refuse. How do we defeat this? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of machtis ha-shekel. Why half a shekel? Why not a whole shekel? Says what he called the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The significance of specifically half a shekel is because a Jew has to know, as he's contributing, right, to the new public, I shouldn't say public, the new Korbanos Tzibur. Public sounds like whatever. Yeah, public transportation. Right? The new Korbanos Tzibur. That what? That the other half of his shekel is a fiery half shekel underneath the Kisei HaKavod. I'm not whole if I'm not connected with fire to the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm not whole. That's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. I have to know that my identity, my me, is only real, it's only meaningful, right? If I know that my other half is by the Kisei HaKavod. The Malbim says differently. The Malbim says, why is it a half a shekel? Because I got to know that I'm not whole if I'm not attached to another Jew's half shekel. So the very giving of the shkolim, right, is the ultimate preemptive strike against Haman shkolim. Haman said that he has the rights, he has the ability, he has now not got the koach to buy the rights to destroy the Jewish people. I'll pay for it, aseret alfim keker kesef, because I know I'll be successful. Why? Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad ben ha'amim. They're yashno min ha-mitzvos. They're attached to the mitzvos. Zip, zero, right? No energy, no excitement, no meaning, right? They do it because they do it by rote. And in terms of their caring for one another, they can care less for one another. Everybody's interested in their own hide. Mefuzara mefurat period between the neshamos. Come the machtias ha-shekel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to revive in both of these aspects, both the aspect of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the aspect of the Malbim. Revive, where is the half a shekel? Where's the other half a shekel? There's a symbolic half a shekel of fire underneath the Kisei Kavod, right? That's where you belong. That's who you are. Ignite your fire. Light your fire. Don't be asleep. And stop being such an egomaniac. Realize that you have nothing unless you're attached to another yid. They tell the story about what he called the Rav Ptolemy Rupshitz, right? Rav Ptolemy Rupshitz, one of the chassidic masters, the great master, the Talmud of Rav Melech Lezhensk, right? Incredible Talmud Chacham. I mean, before he became a chassid, he was the Talmud of Rav Meshulam Igra, who was one of the great, great Talmudists, right, of the generation. So Rav Ptolemy said, I once learned from my Rebbe a very important thing. When I was little, and they were teaching me how to read in Cheder, so whenever I'd come to the end of a pasuk, there's a colon there, right? The colon, right? Colon. To me, it looked like two yuds. So I would say the Shem Hashem. So the Rebbe said, Rav Ptolemy, name? No. One, he was a Galicianer, what they call that southern Poland, Galicia. But if you have two Yidden, right, next to each other, Yud Yud, that's a Shem Hashem. If two Yidden, one on top of the other, it's a Sof Pasuk. He says, I learned a big lesson from that. If two Jews are like this, next to each other, that's a Shem Hashem. If two Jews, one's on top of the other, right, that's a Sof Pasuk, that's the end of the Pasuk. That's Parshas Shkolim. Parshas Zohar, right? Parshas Zohar. They try to destroy us, right? They wanted to destroy us. You see, both in the Hakdama, interestingly enough, right? Just as we said before that Kiyad al Keska Milchama Hashem Bamalek, the denial of Hashem's Hashgacha is the ticket of Amalek in this world. Kiyad al Keska, he covers the Yud and the Hey. There is no Vav and Hey, God forbid. Amalek, the Hakdama, the introduction to the act of his attacking us in Parshas Vashalach. Before then is they came to Rephidim. And there they complain, why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim? We should die in the desert? A lack of faith. Say Chazal, why is that juxtaposed to the attack of Amalek? Because when we record, you get weak in Torah, Rephidim, Rafu Yadayim in a Torah, you're not living the Torah, it's not vibrant with you, then your faith begins to, to erode. Why'd you take us out? No bitachon. To die of thirst? Really, right? That's what happens. When you weaken Torah, Rafa Yudim in a Torah, then your faith begins to erode, and then Amalek comes. In Parshas Kisete, where the mitzvah, which we'll read on Parshas Zohar, the mitzvah of Chiyas Amalek, Timcha Zecher Amalek, what's the immediate mitzvah that precedes, right, the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, of remembering to destroy Amalek? Is false weights and measurements, right? False weights and measurements. Say Chazal, if you cheated in false weights and measurements, then what do you call? Be prepared. Amalek is going to attack. Says the Ksav Sofer, what's the kesher? Because a person who steals through false weights and measurements, it's not because he saw, oh, I want that iPhone. Oh, whoa, I want a mask like that. Oh, what do you call it? What a pen, right? And you steal it because you've got a desire for it, if you're spacey enough, right, to want to steal that particular thing. But with false weights and measurements, it's not like you have a desire, a particular object or a particular device that you want to have for yourself. It's because you don't believe God is sustaining you. You don't believe God is sustaining you. You've got to cheat in order to make a parnasa. And you've got to do it on a consistent level. All the time. If you have no faith and it drives you to steal in such a fashion, right? Not because you desire a particular thing, but because you don't believe that God can sustain you otherwise, then be prepared for Amalek to attack. So both in Parshas B'Shalach, and in Parshas Kiseitse, where the event takes place, and where the tzivui, right, of Mechias HaMolek is written, it's always lack of faith, of bitachon, right, that stands as the prologue to HaMolek. Shoshanas Yaakov, be alive! Fahala v'samecha, bir osam yachad, together! Tchelis Mordechai. Why Tchelis Mordechai? Chazal say that the Tchelis, right, the color Tchelis in the tzitzis, why did the Torah choose Tchelis, as it were? Because Tchelis is doma layam, and yam is doma larakia, and rakia is doma to the kisei kavod. Tchelis. The color of Tchelis is similar to the color of the sea. And the color of the sea is similar to the color of the sky. And the color of the sky is similar to the color of the Kisei HaKavod. What does that mean? Just say the Tchelis is similar to the Kisei HaKavod, right? If this were Dickens, it wouldn't be a question, right? Because he got paid by the word. But seeing as how, right, the Talmud, and not what he called it, and not the Torah, were not written by Dickens, they're written by the Holy One, blessed be He, and Torah Shebaal Peh, this is what he calls Torah Shebaal Peh. So why? Tchelis is doma to the Yam. Yam is doma to the Rakia. Rakia is doma to the Kisei HaKavod. So two approaches here, and they're related to one another. One approach is, the Kli Yakar says, the Yam fulfills the Ratzon of Hashem, right? I won't bring his proofs, through Yira. Even the very experience of the Yam crashing against the Dover Cliffs, not just the Dover Cliffs, but anywhere. It wants to swamp the earth, but it's restrained. Right? In the heavens, Smechim Betesim V'sasim Bevoam, we say in Kelodom. They rejoice to go out. Yira Ahava. Yira Ahava. The tzitzis that have Tchelis are meant to remind us, yeah, you have to be Yari Hashem. I mean, and that requires effort. It doesn't just, you know, okay, yeah, I'm Yari Hashem, Yari Hashem. It requires thought. It requires shaping your worldview. Before whom I stand. He is reality. I'm a piece of reality. You as Hashem. The heavens, they fulfill Hashem's ratzon. Out of Ava, Smechim Etzesim V'sasim Bevoam, Ahavas Hashem, that brings a person to the Kisei HaKavod. That's one. Another thing is that all your associations should lead you back to the Kisei HaKavod. In other words, no matter where you're at and what you're looking at and what your involvement is and what the events that are swirling around you, the Tchelis reminds me of the Yam. The Yam reminds me of the Shemayim. Shemayim reminds me of the Kisei HaKavod. All your associations should lead you back like a thread of Tchelis back to the Kisei HaKavod. When the Jewish people saw, in the beginning they thought what Mordechai had done them in by not bowing down to Haman. And in the end, the miracle was all because of Mordechai, all because of Esther. Right? Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahala v'samecha. They were rejoicing, and no longer were they dead wood. Be'osam Yachad, when they all formed one unit again. Why? Be'osam Yachad, Tchelis Mordechai. They saw the events woven over the years, right? And it brought them back to recognizing Hashem is running the entire show. Tchelis is Dom LeYam. Yam is Dom LeRakia. Rakia is Dom LeKisei HaKavod. They attached all the events, right? They followed the pattern, and they understood. That's what we need to rejuvenate during this time. A connection to Hashem, it shouldn't be dead wood. A connection to one another, we should stop such being egomaniacs, right? We should put excitement back in our fulfillment of mitzvos, right? And Yirtzeh Hashem, just like then, right? Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzolov, Samech, Berosim Yachad, Tchelis Mordechai, so too for all of us, Laihudim, Laisa, Oro, Vesimcha, Vesasim, Vikar, Kain, Yeh, Lachim.